think it needs to be revisited and explained again or discussed again. And the issues pertaining to the peer mentoring and recruitment. It wasn't a clear picture, in my opinion. And I think we need to bring Ed back into the conversation again to make the necessary clarification about that, if we could. Thank you. Hi there, Jesse here. In terms of the missing information that Lisa mentioned, I also have the CART transcript from the previous meeting. If we'd like to review those, I can introduce that to be reviewed as well. Thank you.
Tyler here. I have a question for you, Chris. Now that we have these changes, how does that work now? Will they be made corrections and we have to amend them and see at the next meeting? How does that work?
Well, first of all, on Lisa's point, I guess, if the concern is that we did not reflect the full discussion, what the minutes reflect doesn't perhaps reflect every aspect of the discussion, but it does accurately reflect that a motion was made, seconded, and approved. Now, I don't know that, we can ask, the motion was to authorize CAN to use some funds within their current allocation. We can certainly ask CAN to report back, but the minutes as they stand are an accurate reflection, I think, of the motion that was made and and approved, and then therefore the action taken. We could certainly ask CAN to send a representative and report back on their progress, but we're not actually in charge of implementing their program. So the minutes would be, I think, accurate I mean, nobody has proposed a change to what is in the minutes, which is the minutes are properly a reflection of the actions that we took in that meeting. And I guess Ed's participation is noted later on as well. And then if you would like to propose a change to the part of the minutes that has to do with the update on the Deafblind Technology Program, I can't make a motion. I'm the staff in this meeting, but you know, Margie did mention that the first number in every line is the prior quarter's expenditures, and the second number is year to date. And if somebody wants to make a motion that we would add, prior quarter before the first number and YTD for year to date before the second number, that would be, we could certainly then vote on that if that would provide some clarity. And then the approved minutes, which would go out to everyone, would reflect that change. So if somebody would like to make a motion, so far, I don't believe that there's been a motion, make an amendment, because we are discussing approving the minutes. So if somebody would like to, who's on the committee as a voting member wants to propose that we, clarify that the first number is prior quarter and the last number is, year to date, you could then vote on that amendment, and the revised minutes would reflect those changes. But that's a matter for you guys who are on the voting committee to decide.
This is Kathy Morgan. It says John Morgan on the screen. I make a motion that change made to the budget, as Margie said, for the adaptive technology program.
This is Carol. We also need to spell Jesse's name correctly in the minutes. While there's a pause, could we switch interpreters, please? Raya, if you could spotlight Pam Crawford, that'd be great.
Pam, this is the other interpreter. I think you actually have to have your video on. Is it on yet? There we go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Hannah Tyler. I'm just going to assume if no one, all the voters understand that the first number is what was spent and then the total. So you may not need to make an amendment if we all understand that, but if we have new people, they may not understand. So I'm okay leaving it. I don't know how you all feel.
This is Kathy Morgan again. Nope. I request that the adjustment made as Margie suggested, that years to date or present, so that it is clear in the minutes.
All right, I will second it. So, Anna Tyler, may we vote? Tyler here. Chris Lassen, help me out here. What's the next step?
Sorry,
do
Hannah.
Roll call for voting?
Well, so I believe Kathy suggested that we make the changes as noted. Okay. Yes, if there's a second for that, we can then vote on accepting the minutes.
I second it. I can't hear you.
Sorry. So now we can vote on accepting the minutes as amended.
Okay.
That motion's still on the floor.
I heard someone second it, and I
That's
vote
right.
to accept the minutes. This is
That's
Sandy.
Right.
Bye.
Got it. And so now we can vote on those. We need to vote to accept the amendment, I believe.
I accept the amendment. This is Sandy.
Okay. And so, Hannah, you can vote on, you can ask for a vote on accepting the amendment.
We may now vote accepting the minutes with the amendment. So, I know in the past we've gone through a roll call with the voting members, correct, Chris?
If someone calls for that, absolutely. Or we could do it by voice vote. It's your call. You want to?
Yes.
Would someone like to suggest that we have a roll call vote?
Yes.
Okay. And would you like me then to read the list of voting members?
Yes.
This is Lisa Flaherty Vaughn speaking. May I be spotlighted, please? Lisa Flaherty Vaughn here. Can someone please elaborate on what the amendment is and what we're voting on? It will help the deafblind members understand what we're voting on. Thank you.
Anna, would you like me to do that?
Yes, please, Chris.
Okay. So we are inserting in each line on the update on the deafblind technology program for prior quarter before the first number given, the first dollar amount, and year to date before the second number given, and making a change to the final pages of the minutes to spell Jesse's name correctly. I believe Carol suggested that. And those are the changes that I believe we would be, the amendments, I beg your pardon, to the minutes that we'd be voting on.
And Lisa Flaherty Vaughn said, thank you, I now understand. Thank you.
And now, Chris, could you
sure.
please?
Absolutely. So, Sandy Miles, Roll. Voting on the amendment?
Yes, I approve.
Great. Wayne Seidel on the amendment?
Yes.
An Oak Hill representative? It could be, Bruce, do you want to take the lead on this one? Or?
This is Nicole Feeney for Oak Hill Centers. I think Bruce had to step away. I'm happy to jump in.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I approve.
Great. Jesse Stanley from ASD.
Jesse is saying I approve the amendment.
Okay. Hannah, Tyler?
Yes.
Lisa Flaherty Vaughn?
Yes, I approve.
Barbara Clunan? I don't know if Barbara's joined us. In that case, Karen Olson?
I approve.
Kathy Morgan?
Yes, I approve.
Christine Telford, I don't think is here. Cherry Burns?
Yes, I approve.
Okay. So the amendment was accepted.
Okay, Hannah Tyler, accepted, approved, unanimously. Fabulous. Let's move on to the next. On the agenda, may we have an update on the Deafblind Technology Program, please?
So this is Margie. I'm giving a report for Muriel Aparo. She wasn't able to make it this time. She does not have the updated amounts for the particular budget because there was something kind of going on behind the scenes. I'm not really sure what was happening, but I think she's overloaded with a lot of work and trying to get the amounts to us. The report that she had sent was by mistake. It was a different report. So she apologized that she did not have the final figures as of yet.
Okay. Then we'll move on to the next on the agenda, and that is update on development of contract with HKNC, Helen Keller National Coalition. Would that be from Chris? I'm not quite sure who would report that.
Christine Telford speaking.
I'm sorry?
Christine Telford speaking.
Okay.
That's a CH on the chin. I'm from Helen Keller National Center.
Center. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Yes, the contract is moving forward. I sent in the information to Carol Jenkins. I don't know if she's on the call or not.
And this is Carol, and I have submitted the contract information to the fiscal department, and they have since sent it to OPM, which is the Office of Policy and Management. And so we're waiting for approval from OPM on the contract.
Okay. Hannah Tyler here. So we may move on to the next on the agenda. I do have one question. When will we get that update on development of the contract?
This is Carol. I have been told that it could take 4 to 6 months.
Oh, okay. So that will be a while. All right. Thank you, Carol. Let's move on to report from the chair.
Hannah, no. Can I just suggest, it's Chris. We seem to have missed the first two items on new business.
Yeah. I know.
I'm prepared to give a...
I'm sorry, Chris. You're right. My paper was cut off. I was wondering.
Okay.
Okay.
Would you like
new
a...
New business, please.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I do have the updated financials that we were given through the end of January, and I could go through that line by line. This was sent out in advance to the members. Excuse me. So the amount paid year to date for each of the vendors, I'll go through line by line. American School for the Deaf, through January 31st, we paid $2,360 for services. Communication Advocacy Network, the total as of the end of January is $55,917.01. For Cosign, one of our interpreter vendors, the total is $2,020. NWI Global, which is the cart services, seems to be listed twice. The first line item reflects a zero expenditure, but we'll pick that up later on down in the column. Connecticut Institute for the Blind is listed as $1,031, although Margie and I, frankly, in reviewing this report, since it was given to us by fiscal, we could not find any invoices that would reflect us having paid that amount of money to CIB. United Cerebral Palsy, which is another of our vendors, $4,927.35. New England Low Vision, which is an equipment vendor, we've no expenditures to note. NWI Global, which is, NWI Global, which is, again, the cart services, $1,010.10. Elizabeth Hilton, Inc., the conservator for one of our independent clients, has billed for $328.50. And Stephanie Sessions has not billed us for anything yet. The total expenditures are $67,593.96. And again, our annual budget is $264,045. So the remaining grant balance is approximately $196,451. I will say that Margie and I were able to tot up the invoices that have come in since January 31st. Communication Advocacy Network has billed just a hair under $8,000 in addition. So right now, it would reflect an amount that either has been paid or that we owe $63,500. So that's the expenditures through the first 7 months of the current fiscal year.
Hi, this is Kathy Morgan. I have two questions and then a comment. NWI Global, what is that?
I'll ask Carol to answer that, I think, if that's okay.
This is Carol. It's the CART services for the transcript for that Jesse Stanley uses.
Oh. And NWI stands for?
I don't recall. I am sorry.
So this is Margie. I believe it stands for Northwestern Interpreters, if I think.
Ah. And cosine are for the other interpreters.
Correct. Yes, cosine is an interpreter agency.
Okay. Then, in the future, could I ask if to show how much each vendor was allocated for each year? Because it's hard to tell the difference in the number of how much has been used for American School for Deaf, how much was allocated of the funds for each of these listed vendors. And I see there is a name in the listing. Should that name be there? I'm not sure what that name represents.
So this is Margie. So Stephanie Sessions is a vendor.
For a client?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks, Margie.
And just to say, we generally don't mention the names of the clients in the budget line item, although we could, if Carol is feels this would be acceptable, we could certainly put the client initials in parentheses, if that would, I don't know, but it's, if that would help matters. So.
Kathy has her hand up. This is Margie. Kathy has her hand up.
No, I don't think it's appropriate to put the initials in.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
The fact that it says vendor at the top, you could say vendor for agency or client, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Hannah Tyler here. I noted NWI Global is listed twice. The first one at the top was zero, and then third from the bottom is $1,010.10. So you need to make a correction there. That's the same company, correct?
It is the same company. And
this is Lisa Flaherty Vaughn. May I be spotlighted? Again, Lisa Flaherty Vaughn here. We're moving quite ahead. I know we were talking about putting the vendor on this list, but maybe we could put what type of vendor, therefore the deaf blind. But also too, if you could also just now explain who these services are for specifically, that would be helpful. Thank you.
So this is Margie. Spotlight me at this. Sorry, we're, thank you. We're just going to switch. Thanks.
So this is Margie. So all of our vendors serve our clients who are deafblind. And whether they're deaf and use sign language, or whether they're deaf and don't use sign language, or if they're hard of hearing, that doesn't matter. We need to serve all of our clients equally within the state, but they are using this deafblind grant, and it is not specifically like for an individual who is hearing impaired or visually impaired or anything. It's to serve the people that are considered deafblind. And that would be if they use hearing aids or whatever type of communication device that they need to be able to communicate. Because we are an agency for the blind. We do serve individuals who are visually impaired and blind. And then if there's that communication, where there's an issue with the communication, then we need to serve them properly. So when we put our vendors down, we don't specifically say who it is that we're serving, because that is a confidentiality issue. So when we have so Stephanie Sessions is a vendor, we will not put down who she serves, because that's confidentiality.
This is Carol, and this is specifically the deafblind grant, and it's for the SSPs in that communication facilitation for community inclusion only. This is outside of BESB services.
This is Kathy Morgan. Thank you, Margie and Carol.
There's one other aspect of the financial report that's worth noting. I was contacted just fairly recently by our DDS representatives who noted that the services have continued to be provided to our clients with deafblindness at South Breed Training School. Throughout this period, through the last several years, Sandy Miles from Southbury Training School has continued to send in reports on the utilization of community inclusion services by the clients at Southbury Training School. They wanted to note that they have now exhausted the surplus funds that BESB's that the Deafblind Advisory Committee had provided, and they are now interested in once again receiving reimbursement from the Deafblind Advisory Committee for the services that they have continued to provide going forward, though, in the coming fiscal year. And I bring that up. It was a very, very recent addition. Didn't make it onto the agenda, but it does come under the rubric of our financial summary or our financial report. I don't know, Sandy. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on what it is that you've been doing with the clients at Southbury Training School?
Yes, we have four people that are involved, and we have people that take them out maybe twice a week
and they go to many different places.